you know, like, just blow the lid. Let me scream and shout and cuckoo finish it here. Lighthouse, daddy, she won't know what she lost. Because that conversation won't continue. Catch that. She will not, and that's how we lose many things. Thinking God is against us, not knowing that He was working for you. He was to present you. She will, something restrained her. My God, look at the mystery of glory. Let's lift up our hands. Stand up for my sister's testimony. She was found right. Others were found wrong. This guy, God. Let's lift up our hands. We cannot take it lightly. Thank God for the testimony of my sister. I share with you something. Look, join me with somebody who will inflame my passion. Philip, join yourself to that man. Thank God for whom God has to join to her. Father, we bless you. Bible says, blessed are your ears that hear these things, and your eyes that see them. For many are sought to hear them and to see the things which you see, but it's not given. Some people, bad news, my people. Some people, somebody just told them how they should scatter their marriage, and you are hearing how you should save your job, how you should. Oh my God. Some people are being counseled on how to just do evil right now as we are talking, and you are here hearing how you will not do bad again. Let's lift up our hands and be thankful. We give you glory. Look at the testimony of my sister. He knows how to deliver the righteous. Look at that grace and blessed child. Our child will say, mommy, you've bought enough. Father, we are grateful. Thank God for the testimony of our principal. She said, I want to test God. You know, yeah, well, you use the word test, but you wanted to prove it. Like Gideon proved it. He said, look, if you want me want to go to for this war, then, like, you know, God doesn't mind being proven, but he will hate it after you prove him not to follow him. Thank you, Daddy, for this mercy. We worship you. You don't know how many lives. Thank God for Daddy's testimony. He said, your testimony, your healing made science a lie. Let all men be liars, but let God be true. Your story is different, my brother, because your story won't end like theirs. Father Lord, we bless you for all that you've been and done, for our ears and our heart are hear and see, that we may hope in God. Thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Let's turn our Bibles before we sit down to quickly to Matthew chapter 26 verse 34. Matthew chapter 27 verse 34. I bring you a word from the Lord. Managing your zeal. How do you manage your zeal? Let us look at this. In response to Jesus, he was on the cross and he screamed, I thirst. Bible says they gave him vinegar to drink, mingled with God. Full colon. We'll see what he did. Bible says when he tasted it, Shaga. My prayer is that you will know what not to drink. Let's lift up our hands to Jesus. Receive grace this evening, this morning. Manage my zeal, oh God. Have mercy on me. Save me from what is seeking to destroy me. God represents bitterness and misfortune. It's a symbol of bitterness. You remember the gallbladder? Save us to serve you. In Jesus' name we pray. Have your seat in His presence and welcome to God's house. To God be all the glory. Managing your zeal. In the brevity of time we have, we need to push. Daddy, thank you. Good to see you again, sir. Zeal is passion. add on intensity or force behind it, a pursuit. That's how we defined it. It is the ardent interest to get a task or an ideal accomplished. It is a strong interest and enthusiasm that makes someone very eager to do a task. It is love or passion for an ideal. Zeal is a thirst. When you are thirsty to see certain outcome, you devote energy, you pursue it. Nothing is too much. Nothing is tasking, because you are driven by an outcome that interests you. Remember the story of that, because of want of time, we have to crunch a lot of things together. In that Gideon, Judges chapter 7 that we read, what was the task? The task was to go and fight, if you remember the story. There was war, and 33,000 people were gathered. Somebody would think that would secure their safety. But God said, these people, not all of them are thirsty. Don't confuse thirst with the drinking of water. Because thirst is your eagerness, your hunger, your pursuit, your interest to see an outcome that is important to you. Have you left? Yeah. If you are thirsty to see God's righteousness reign, that's your pursuit. You see, you are thirsty to see people saved. That's your hunger. Jesus hung on the cross. He cried, I thirst. You know what God did? To prove that this thirst, particularly the thirst of the spirit, of course, is a metaphor that represents how we are thirsty for water. Because if you are thirsty for water, you will drink. Okay? Can I tell you a secret? If you are thirsty, zealous, passionate, if an ideal is important to you, nothing quenches that thirst until you get the outcome that you are looking for. You know what happened? God said, these 33,000 people are not going anywhere. Can I prove them? You know what God said? He said, bring them to the waters. Judges chapter 7, verse 4. God said, bring them to the waters. Let me prove them there with you, for you. And the Lord said to Gideon, look, you don't need numbers. You need test. You didn't catch it. It's not how many people. In fact, some people will quench the test, because they are not going with you. Have you left? Have you left? I can't imagine God looking for many Jesuses. Nobody will die. You remember that this testimony? They got everybody. They said, who wants to do this job? Daddy said, he pretended he was writing. Let somebody shout hallelujah! Can you imagine God looking for many Jesuses? Can I tell you a secret? One who has a thirst will deliver the product. Daddy, they brought everybody to the waters. He said, bring them to the waters. I will prove them. See what happened. Daddy, they were to go to war. You remember about 27,000 first of all went back when he said, whoever is afraid, let him go back. You remember? Then the remaining, he said, bring them to the waters. He said, all of them are not going. You know what, Daddy? You know what happened? He proved that their thirst was not in the drinking of the water. He said, they need eagerness to go. Are you see here? Daddy, when he brought them to the waters, God said, Take a look. Make an observation. Everybody was asked to do the same thing, but took different postures, sir. Wow. He didn't catch it. 300 out of them said, our test is to go and recover and secure our country. They didn't bow the knees. They were eager to go. You know what they did? They scooped the water. I don't have time to waste. They lap it. And God said, put them aside. Those who are not going, they took time. He said, thank God. You know, where we are going is where we got to. Before they wake me up here, time we go. Daddy said, you know, they took, Daddy, are you seeing it? Let's go to verse 10. See what happened here. Roland, well, of course, not verse 10. Look at verse, go to verse 13. Praise the Lord. Back up to verse 7. Sorry. And the Lord said unto Gideon, by the 300, in fact, roll up to, in fact, go to 6. Go to 6, sorry. I'm sorry. Go to 5. I want us to gain perspective here. So he brought the people down onto the water. Lighthouse, what thirst for water is to our soul is what the thirst of the zeal is to our spirit, your eagerness to see the product that is important to you, to see an outcome, to see this achievement. Praise the Lord. So when he brought them to the waters, the posture you take about that project, about that assignment, about that pursuit, about that favor in your heart. You remember the story of Moses. There was no prophecy about Moses to his mom that he would deliver Egypt and that he would deliver the people of. In fact, the only thing that was recorded about uniqueness of him is that when he was born, his mother saw that he was a proper child. How more proper could a child be? Did he have 8, 7, or 10 fingers? Or rather, I mean, six fingers? No. But it was every inch the same thing with every male that was thrown to die. But her mother said, and she did not fear the king's because of that. She didn't fear the king's command. She hid the child for 3 years, for three months. How important is the outcome you are looking for to you? Are you here? It's not talking about church practice or being church worker, carry table, but understanding what God sent you here to do. Praise the Lord. I tell you enough, what? No, there is something that is important, there is something that burns your heart. Can I tell you a secret? It can right now be used negatively. I share that with you. Satan hijacked passion. In Acts chapter, in Galatians chapter 1, Paul the Apostle said he was zealous concerning the tradition of his fathers. He persecuted the church and wasted it more than all his peers. He has a passion that does more. Guess what? When he redirected that passion didn't change except the purpose. Give God the hand clap. When he became an apostle, he said, I was the least and not even worthy, but I did how many? More. I did more than Abdel. Passion can be hijacked. You think something is wrong with the passion God gave Snake to be subtle? As a matter of fact, subtle is the negativity of being discreet. You didn't catch it. Yeah, because you see, to be subtle knows, you know, the nature of snake, because Bible says, be ye wise as, the day I read it, I said, God, why not as a dove? But you see, there's a cleverness that God puts in the snake. Oh my God, the snake can sit down. Go and learn about them. You see, because these things, anything you see in the Bible, it's not for you to avoid it. It's for you to know what to avoid. Are you here? Because if you study the scriptures very well, it will not only tell you what you should do, will it tell you what you should not? He told Paul, Timothy someplace said, from such do what? Turn away. Praise the Lord. Now, the cleverness of the snake is that it cannot afford to miss. Oh, snake? How people are snaky? When they say somebody, you know, he has a culture that when he strikes, he has one chance. So that's why if you look at that, he will do like this. Something will tell, don't do. You're looking for the opportune time. My God. And that's what the Satan does. He can sit still. So that Abraham become old to present Agar. Adeti Bonu and Bai. We are still in it. Are you here? You didn't catch the joke. He will do one thing that will last so long. You only don't want to miss the time. So, and you see, as a Christian, you don't have, Bible says, redeeming. Because if the serpent hits and misses, he will be killed.
You don't know that.
Because if he shows up, if he come out, and he misses the target, and the target is able to not die, he will call everybody. Anybody still here? My God. Your thirst is how important is the outcome you're looking for? And how cleverly do you want to make it achieved? That's what happened here. Bible says he brought them. So he brought the people onto the water. And the Lord said unto Gideon, heavy one that lappeth of the water with his tongue as a dog lappeth, him that shall set apart for yourself. Those two people didn't know they were being watched. Because passion is visible. You didn't catch it. Zeal is visible. Gideon said, Jehu said, come and see my zeal for the Lord. And particularly as you are being trained for leadership, you will be comfortable to understand the interest of everybody in your team. Okay, if you don't like that, because you may think I'm talking about you, about our children. Because if you don't put the right, stick in the right peg in the right hole, you will mismatch interest. And you get an outcome that you didn't desire. Praise the Lord. Bring them to the waters. Say, bring them to the waters. And I will prove them. Hallelujah. Praise God. Now, he said, him that shall thou say, like is everyone that does what? Boweth upon his knees. So their posture highlight how thirsty they are for the assignment that is ahead of them. They want to minimize distraction, hallelujah, and get up to speed. My people, God does test our thirst. You didn't catch it? God will test our thirst. I have to close. And of course, you know the story. 300. So, the one that bowed down, they can become furious. And they say, what did we do now? What did we do? No, you didn't do anything. You are not testing. If I take you, where is it what you say you are not doing again? Let somebody praise the Lord. Have you left? Now, let's go quickly because I have to round up. There are so many things in between. Let's go to that place we read in Matthew chapter 27. Because there are things that will implicate your test. They want to either make wear it out or corrupt it. You see what happened here? He said he was thirsty. And they gave him vinegar, sugar, mingled. That's what destroyed this serpent. He drank an offering that was mingled. God. Bible says in Genesis chapter 3, he said, now the serpent was more subtle than how many? All animals. And Satan knows that if he access this one, he can corrupt that subtlety if you give him guile, if he mingle with guile. That's what, and that's why God judged serpent. Is anybody here? Are you buying down or are you laughing? Say I'm laughing. Yeah, now okay, that's why I didn't hear you. Let's give God the hand clap. Oh, glory to God. Did you catch that? That thing was mingled with gall, bitterness, misfortune. But Bible says here, when Jesus, do you taste what you are offered? Bible says the air tastes words like mouth tastes meat. Have you seen that in the Bible before? Oh, you haven't seen it. Okay. My sister, please help looking for it for me. Google it. He said, as the mouth tasted meat, so the ear tried words. As the mouth tried meat. If you put fish in your mouth, you will say it's goat. Even if your eyes are closed. Did you catch that? Did you see that? He said, for the ear does what? As what? Vitals. If what you are hearing is mingled with God, will you drink? Let's stand up on our feet. What are the things that can quickly, that can quench your zeal? Light us up. Wake, Bob. Number one, I have to share this one so that we close. Did you catch that summary? When what is offered to you, you remember, Jesus tasted, he didn't drink it. But when he tasted it, he refused it. I'm thirsty, but not for this. These are things that can complicate, implicate. You remember Gehazi? You remember Gehazi? He saw his master refuse gain. But he was thirsty for the gain. And Bible says he went. In fact, Bible says he ran. Let's go to 2 Kings. 2 Kings chapter 2, chapter 5. Verse 20. Lighthouse, please, I'm begging you. Don't drink an offering that is mingled with God. Jesus did not. Because that's how your zeal will be tested. Bible says, when it didn't drink it, Lighthouse, you should know, look, I can't stop you from offering me a bad advice. But I can refuse drinking it. That is taking action by it. See what happened here. But Gehazi, the servant of Elisha, the man of God, said in his heart, behold, my master has speared this Syrian. In not receiving at his hand that which he brought, he swore by God. He would test. That is, you know, it's thirsty. He was a servant of God. He was following the man of God. Except that when he was brought into water, when it was to be proved at the water, he drank God. He said, "As the Lord liveth, I will say, I will." Did you see? Did you see his text there? Did you see his passion? Did you see his zeal? He said, "I will run." What do you run after? Do you not run after God? Come back home, Lighthouse. Do what? You know what his master told him? He said, "Did not my heart went with you when you went after him?" He said, you know what? The leprosy of Naaman clicked to you. He was offered gall and he drank it. He didn't survive. Let's lift up our hands to God. Cleanse my heart, O God.
Let it ever true. Make it ever true. Change my heart, oh God. May I be like you. May I be. Lighthouse, can I tell you a secret? Passion is not only things you like. There are certain, you may have passion, you may, your passion may be to dislike certain things, and there is nothing wrong. You dislike injustice. You dislike, you know, passion of Moses was that he can't see the children of Israel suffer. Now, you know, you should, I told you, sit down this month. Understand, you know, it's God that put it there. It's a gift of God. It's, you know, just like God make you male, female, tall, short. Don't think you are deprived. It's for your purpose. My God. I said, no. We have no choice at who we are. Except that he who made us, designed us for a particular end. The children were young. The youngest came to me when he was 10. He said, Daddy, I don't want to be short. I said, I can't help you. Me too, I'm looking. If you grow tall, I'll be up. I mean, whatever happened to you, what are you going to do for you? And luggage is gone. Are you going to be stretching him so that I can tall? Our hands to God. God help me to refuse God when I'm offered. Serpent could not refuse it. Do you know? It was not designed to crawl on his belly. It was a product of the curse. Just the same way man was not designed to sweat or to suffer. Yeah, he said upon, and he said dust. He wasn't eating dust before. He said, Lord, please. As you receive, in your test, my people, in your test, identify God. In your test, in your zest, in your pursuit. Bible says, Iran. Can you imagine? Iran to embrace leprosy. That won't be my story. That won't be your story. Bible says it was offered. People can know you are tested, you are passionate. People can know it can bring anything. To test your thirst. And it will mingle it. But please, if you taste it, know how to refuse it. You are the potter, and I'm the clay. Mold me and make me. This is what I pray. Change my heart, oh God. Make it ever true. Change my heart, oh God. May I be. At the Bible, at the Sunday school, we learned about godly counsel. My dear family, we don't know how many things are offered to each of us different times, mingled with God. Please taste it. And if you can identify it, don't drink it. Father Lord, I thank you. There's nothing you put in us that was designed to destroy us. No. Bible says all creations of God are good and nothing to be refused. But sometimes a product can be corrupted, can be polluted, can be mingled. And it began to bring an outcome for which it was not intended. Daddy, please clean us up in Jesus' name. If we drink any poison or anything that is running our stomach, we don't let it take its course. We see how we cleanse the system to purge us, to cleanse us, to empty that pollution. Daddy, we're at your theater this morning. Purge us of every corrupt item in Jesus' name. Turn our passion for that for which you've designed it. Don't let us be an agent that we destroy our own selves. I lift up this house to you. Lord, the zeal and the zest, the passion, the interest you put in each one of us, you put it there for our collective good. That in our own Moses can bring out the people of God. Hallelujah. In that sphere for which you designed that passion. Daddy, let every passion be pure. Let every pursuit be holy. Let every accomplishment be to your glory. Thank you, precious Father. Reset everyone. Refresh everyone. Renew everyone. Thank you, Holy God. Release us from here to do that exactly which you intended us for. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. Please stretch your hands towards me and pray for me. My dear family, you don't know how many times my drink is mingled with God. You know, I interact with a lot and variation of people in ministry. You know, it's not everybody who came to Jesus that came so that they may be healed. Some came to catch him at his words. Some came to see how they may implicate him. They came, they said, should we pay tithe? Should we pay taxes? But they were sick. That offering was mingled with God, my people. They were seeking an occasion to see how they will report him to the authority. Please pray for me. And my drink will be pure and holy. I will not swallow that which is distasteful. Thank you, Papa. And at your appearance, Lord, may we all inherit your glory. As we go off this month, Daddy, may we go forth with the zeal you have put in us to accomplish feats like Paul did, and a witness, I finished my course. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. How many people checking for service today? Hallelujah. That's why it is called service. So that you can have your oil change. They check your tire. They check where it is overheating. They put your washer there so their vision will be clear. And then when you leave the garage, there is less noise, amen. You gain traction. You use less fuel. You go more distance. Let somebody praise the Lord. Hallelujah. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the sweet fellowship of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Surely, goodness and mercy have followed us all the days of our life. We shall dwell in the house of the Lord. The best way you can keep your car running is to keep your schedule of service. You won't be found missing in service, in Jesus' name. Love you. Have a good week.